This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you in part by Crossway, publisher of Deeper, Real Change for Real Sinners by Dane Ortlund. This book reminds us that we grow in Christ by going deeper into the gospel truths that first saved us. Drawing on wisdom for people in church history, Ortlund reminds readers to fix their eyes on Jesus in their battle against sin, living in light of his grace and their identity in him. Pick up Deeper wherever books are sold or visit crossway.org/plus to find out how you can get 30% off with your Crossway Plus account. We are so thankful for Crossway's sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey friends, Laura Whiffler here. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. In just a minute, my sister-in-law, Emily Jensen, will be joining me for the convo. But before we get to that, I just wanted to remind you guys about the social media wake-up workbook that we developed to go along with these episodes. So often, as you guys listen along with Emily and I, we are not going to answer all of your questions. In fact, we might even raise more questions than we answer. And to help with that, that's why we designed this Wake Up Workbook, because we really want you to be able to think for yourself, to really ask God what he has for you as you are on social media. And we encourage you to gather with a group of friends or just other wise people to talk about some of this content and to think through your own social media use, because so much of it is really personal decisions and personal conscience. That workbook is designed to help give you just some guided thinking and some scripture verses as you consider what's going on when you interact with social media. Another quick ask we have of you guys before we get to the show is if you would take 5 minutes to give us a rating and review. As you guys know, it's really how other people find the podcast, how they decide to hit play. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, but you can also do that anywhere that you listen to your preferred podcast. So it does not have to be on Apple Podcasts at all. You can do that whatever your player is, whether that's Overcast or Stitcher or any of the other podcast players. If you guys would take a couple minutes just to rate and review the show, that would be so helpful and really help a lot more women be able to find our show and hopefully have them thinking more critically about social media too, because we really believe the world would be a little bit of a better place if everyone started thinking more deeply on this topic. So, okay, with that, let's get to the show.
So, Laura, I'm curious if you've ever experienced this, where you are scrolling through your social media feed and you see a post, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, even though your day has been going fine, you start feeling angry.
Oh, 100.
Or your heart starts palpitating.
Hands down.
Or all of a sudden, you're like feeling stressed and anxious, and you're like, I don't know why.
For sure.
Or have you ever felt guilty all of a sudden about something you did or said with your kids?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yes. Good question.
Oh, it sounds like you have a normal experience on social media.
I'm glad to hear it's normal, but I hate it. I mean, that feeling of getting onto social media when you expect, like, I'm going to be honest and say, like, almost an escape. And then you end up coming away with feeling like it will be like my day will be going great. And then the next second I'll be like, oh, I'm the worst ever. That's how it goes.
Exactly. So hopefully that gives you guys a little taste of what we're talking about today, is just kind of our experience on social media, kind of consuming the posts, scrolling through the feeds, and just asking ourselves the question, like, what were we coming here for?
Yeah.
What were we expecting? And then how are we responding to the way that that post made us feel?
Yeah, like, why does social media cause the angst when I feel like I can do a lot of other things and not be provoked? You know, but what we've seen, just even from our own experience or observing others and even our own lives, we might be frustrated because of what someone did post, right? We're frustrated because they posted about their accomplishment that they had in business, their gorgeous home, their beautiful, happy family, a sweet mom skill they have. And I, at least for me, I often feel like, well, I'm happy for them. I want that for them, but I want it for me too. And more than likely, it's kind of this moment where you're just feeling bad for yourself. Another one of with the ways we react when people do post is that we disagree with what they posted. This is the whole, hey, this swaddle is best. No, I think my swaddle is best. Hey, this food is what's healthy. No, that food is what's healthy. Hey, this is how I'm educating my kid and it's awesome and I love it. No, actually, you know, there's a lot of problems with that way of doing it and you shouldn't do it. Oh, that lamp that you just posted, it's too expensive. You shouldn't have done that. That's not a good use of money. Or maybe it's even a Bible teacher we follow and we were like, I disagree with what you posted. I don't think that's what the Bible says, or I don't think that's how you should associate. So there's a lot of feelings, I think, within that.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, I think we can become mad and discontent and frustrated with what people didn't post, right? So maybe the post didn't acknowledge our specific situation or experience. You know, a lot of us have walked through pain and suffering. Maybe there's miscarriage, infertility, adoption, disability, the pain of losing a parent or a child. Maybe you're a military spouse or you've just been through a big move or transition, or, you know, you have a struggling relationship with your parent. All of these things feel very big and important in our lives. And so we get frustrated when those things are not acknowledged in the post that's up there. And maybe they're talking about, you know, cats, but we're upset because it's not about dogs. And there is a real pain there. But, you know, again, those are the types of things that make us frustrated. Another thing might be because somebody is not posting about our pet issue, our specific issue, the thing that we feel most passionate about. So maybe this is schooling, government policy, social justice, you know, sewing your own clothes, homesteading. I mean, it can go on and on and on. I'm not picking on these things. I'm not trying to be snarky. We all have a thing that we are constantly looking for somebody to talk about and affirm online. And we can get frustrated when our favorite influencers don't post about that or don't speak out about that.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that all of these feelings where we're sort of coming to social media with expectations and we're coming and thinking, hey, this is what you should post, this is what you shouldn't post, these feelings of anger or envy or discouragement are really a post-fall reality, right? God created us to be known, to be loved, to be seen, to be cared for, but only Adam and Eve ever experienced that to its full effect. And so now, because of the fall, the reality is with the sin in our hearts, we do think the world is all about us. We kind of think we're these little gods. You know, we are navel gazers. And I think it's funny because I just heard somebody once say, we don't even know how obsessed with ourselves we are. And I thought that was so helpful of like, how much do I think about myself? I mean, I am constantly thinking about me. And another thing is we don't like to feel offended. We don't like to feel disagreed with. You know, we really do want to be coddled. We want to be cared for. We want to be catered to. And then when we're not, we become vindictive. We want to hurt the people who hurt us. And our identity begins to be found in things other than Christ. And so this is something that is really interesting to look into, because I think what we want to do is say, well, this is because of the photo. This is because of the comment. This is because of what we saw online. But the reality is, it's that our identities weren't resting in Christ to begin with. That these things that people are posting is not the causation of what you're feeling. It's actually only stirring up and bringing to the surface what is probably already hidden in there.
Yeah. And I think what you're talking about, Laura, is where we see kind of the sin online, right? The mommy wars, the cancel culture, you know, rude DMs or comments, feeling like we need to go to battle online when it's not our battle. That's where all this comes from, right? It's the sin in our hearts. And I think it's important for those of us who are lurkers, and I'm
one
of them.
Yes, I'm a lurker.
So speaking to all the lurkers out there, we're not immune to this. You know, we are feeling these same things in our hearts. We just don't get our thumbs out and our thumbs involved. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't address those feelings, or that we shouldn't ask the question, hey, where is this coming from? And why was I expecting this person to be a certain way to begin with? So it's really for all of us.
So with that, we want to talk a little bit about online accountability. Some people like to call this cancel culture. It's been changed a little bit lately to accountability. But really, like, what is our role as people online, both with Christians and with non-believers, and what does it look like to love people well on social media? That's really what we want to talk about, because these feelings are in us. And like Emily's saying, a lot of us are lurkers. We aren't going to say anything, but we're feeling these things inside. But also, if we have seen anything from social media, there is almost an epidemic among humans to be unkind And so it's something that we feel like is important to talk about because we haven't really heard a lot of people talk about it in a really thoughtful way. So we want to start with just saying, you know, no matter what, no matter how you're feeling, all that kind of stuff, do you have the whole story?
Right. Because when we are getting a peek into someone's lives, that's what it is. It's a tiny sliver, right, of the iceberg. We can't actually see what's going on behind the scenes in their home. We don't know what happened before the video was taken and after the video was taken. We don't really understand the depth of what's going on in someone's hearts. And so we may judge instantaneously and think like, oh, they should have been wiser. They should have been smarter in the way they said that. Or they talked about this, but they didn't talk about that. Or they misspoke here. Or I think they're misrepresenting. And it's just like, we just don't know, right? Only God knows. Social media has limits, and only God, you know, examines the heart. I think another proverb that I always like kind of related to this is Proverbs 18:17. It's the one who states his case first always seems right until the other comes to examine him. And of course, that's talking a little bit more about like a court setting. But the underlying principle behind that is, hey, whatever you see first kind of seems right, but there's always more to the story. There's always another side to the story. And I think sometimes when we come to social media and we see the post that makes us frustrated because of what they did say or what they didn't say, we don't stop to consider what we don't know.
Yeah. And then in that moment when we're deciding, but I do know, we have this tendency to want to play God. And so we have this expectation that, hey, it is my job to educate and enlighten people to my way of thinking. And oftentimes we like sincerely believe that this is the right way. And we tell ourselves we are helping, we are showing them a better way. And it might truly be, but we want to encourage everyone that, hey, before we start typing and before we start correcting, are we first asking, is there any wicked way in me? And maybe not, but maybe yes. And so we want to get back to the root issue of what is causing the fact that like, hey, I feel like I need to correct this. I feel like I need to step in. I feel like I need to say something. And so ask yourself, like, is there something that I need to repent of? Do I need to confess to God about how this photo makes me feel? Even if you offer kind feedback, but like inside you're like kind of fuming and steaming. Like, I know I've had some moments where I'm like, I am very frustrated that this person did this or said this, or I don't like the way that they handled that. And I may not say anything, or maybe I'll even be really kind in my response, but inside I am feeling pride or envy or bitterness. And so take time to see if there is a deeper issue at play.
I think it's worth pausing right there, Laura, to talk a little bit more about pride, because I think that's something that might be lurking in a lot of our hearts and we don't even realize it. It can be kind of sneaky. It can disguise itself sometimes as, but I'm just being a crusader for truth. And certainly there is a type of pride where we're just ignoring or defying God. Like we talk about that, like unbelievers, right, are prideful because they don't want to acknowledge God. But pride can also be haughtiness. And essentially that's thinking better about ourselves than we actually are and thinking of others as worse than us, or thinking that others need us and need our help in order to be better. That's also a subtle form of pride. So the truth is, though, we know like people don't ultimately need our help. They need God's help. They need supernatural transformation of the Holy Spirit to change. So we are just a vessel for God to use. We are not the actual mechanism for change. And we should kind of conduct ourselves accordingly, right? As a humble servant, not the master who is in charge of everything. And so even if we are delivering feedback or we are, you know, saying, I do have a truth to share, we can do that in a way that doesn't come from a posture of, and you need me to tell you this, and I'm going to change you if I just say it a certain way, but to say, no, like, I'm leaving this in the hands of the Lord to do the work. I am just sharing the truth.
And I think a really good gut check question for people to ask, building off what you're saying, Emily, is, hey, if I feel the need to respond to this and to offer some sort of a corrective comment, why? Why am I offering it? And if it is to genuinely help someone to learn or grow, just take it from two people who do receive comments like this. If your heart is truly to help, is there a way that you can do this privately? Because oftentimes a corrective comment can come off as publicly shaming. And we may not hear it that way as we are typing. I think there's a whole like other series we could do on like how to type in a friendly way. You know, I think we are at a loss for like, it sounds right to us in our ears as we type, but like how it's read is very different. But consider that if you're feeling the need to post it publicly, it's probably more that you feel pride of looking wise in others' eyes. And is there a way that you can offer that DM in a DM?
I wanted to share this first before we move on, and I'm going to add in different words for emphasis. So this is not the exact quote of the original verse, but Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a mom who is wise in her own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for her. And I think we just all have to just be cautious when we're being wise in our own eyes.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Okay. Another thing to ask yourself as we build here on whether or not you should comment is ask yourself, is this a mountain or a molehill? And so often in our sin and pain, we start to make things way too big of a deal. I know I have done this. It's the whole concept of hurt people, right? Sometimes we cannot step back enough outside of our sorrow and pain to see the reality. And so we start to lose discernment on what is worth our time and what is worth our energy. We begin making third, fourth, fifth, I don't know how far out the circles go, but the orders of importance, right? If the first order of importance is the gospel, we start making all of these other things a matter of first importance. We start to confuse them with the gospel. And so if we feel like, hey, I'm not sure, like I want to respond to this, or I feel like I'm really frustrated about this, is there someone that you can talk to in real life about, or someone that you can quick text to get a second opinion? And how can you err on the side of guarding your tongue? What Emily, that verse she just read, and I want to add another, Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's some conviction. And so ask God, is this my quarrel? Is this really something that God is calling me to correct and fix?
But to kind of piggyback on the quarreling thing, there's another proverb. Man, Proverbs is just rich with social media wisdom.
Can we pause for a hot second and say, I think if people read Proverbs and Psalms,
yes,
and applied those two books, the wisdom, particularly in Proverbs, applied that to social media, I mean, it would be a vastly different landscape, even if just the Christians did it. It is unbelievable how we just kind of think, oh, it's disconnected. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So there is this verse. And actually, I read this in like my quiet time and I wrote it down on Post-it because it just jumped out at me. But Proverbs 26:17 says, whoever meddles in a quarrel that is not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears.
Ooh.
Now, remember, back in the day, they did not have necessarily domesticated dogs in the same way we do. They were like wild dogs. What do you think happens when you grab a wild dog by the ears? Like, they bite your arm off or they attack you. And it's like, so, hey, if you want to get injured or killed, get involved in a quarrel that's not your own. And of course, this is all figurative language, but I think sometimes we insert ourselves in fights and quarrels and controversies that have nothing to do with us, that no one asked our opinion on, that has nothing to do with our real life or our real family or our real community. And then we're like, I'm so stressed out. I'm so anxious. I'm up all night. I'm fighting these battles. And we're going to get to this again in another show. But all of that energy exertion affects us for how we are faithful in our real life. Okay, whoa, we're going to
get off my soapbox. We're getting into our own things. But if it still feels like, hey, a corrective comment would be important to share here. Big question to ask. How are you modeling the fruit of the Spirit online, right? This is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a lot of things. That's a lot of qualifiers of how we would need to walk in love as we try to offer correctiveness online. And so I think like the first question is if someone is like consistently bothersome to you, or if you're consistently feeling like that's frustrating, they didn't get this right, I'm up at night thinking about this, or they're causing kind of anxiety and frustration in my life, can you just unfollow? It is powerful. And so as consumers, we need to be thinking about who we're following and editing that list consistently. We'll talk about that more. But essentially, like, you have all the power in the world to not be frustrated and provoked by somebody, especially if they are consistently doing that in your life.
Absolutely. But I think even in terms of, you know, offering some kind of correction or change for an influencer, consider like a thoughtful email or DM that comes from a truly kind place. Pray about this beforehand. Pray for the influencer or the ministry or the person on the other end who's going to be receiving this. Pray for their heart. Pray for your heart. Pray for your words. Like, I think you're going to type something different probably if you have prayed about it than if you haven't. And then give feedback from a kind police that is on their team that admits, you know, I don't know it all either. I may not have the whole story. I may not understand your decision-making process. Like, I realize I don't know all the facts, but here's something I'm observing. You know, I think we all love a compliment sandwich. And I think truth and clarity is kindness. I know one of our board members, Ruth, says that a lot. And I always really appreciate that clarity is kindness. So we want to be clear. I don't think you have to beat around the bush, but certainly like coming from a place of humility goes a long, long way.
And this is, to be honest, like the biggest way to see change. If that's something that you are really feeling convicted to help someone see, we have genuinely made changes at Risen Motherhood because someone has come from a place of loving our community and someone who has been invested in our community and has seen our track record and watched how the ministry has changed and grown and taken the whole ministry in context. And we have genuinely had really good feedback from people. Usually it comes in a DM or in an email, so a longer form, softer, private form of communication that has really, for us, while it's been hard at times, we've thought, oh, this is a really great point. And this person is right. And they came to us with a humble attitude and humble heart. And we definitely want to make that change. So I think that if you really cared about changing what you see online, even you taking a little bit more time to craft a response would probably be far more effective than a well actually comment online.
I don't even remember when we were going to talk about this, but I'm hitting Laura's computer. I'm like, my arms are flying. I want to say this.
We're completely off of our outline. We are just talking about everything about it right now. But I think this is
about
good.
Revenge.
Oh, yeah.
And I think sometimes when we're offering feedback, we're coming from a place of, again, going back to the beginning of our show. You said something that I didn't like or I didn't agree with, or you didn't say something mm-hmm. that I felt like you should say, and I'm hurt, and now I want to get revenge. Mm-hmm. And we take matters into our own hands and we try to harm somebody's reputation or shame them or take business away from them or whatever as like our way of causing pain on them because they cause pain on us. And we know that scripturally that is not okay. Romans 12:17, we talk about this verse like literally all the time in our house. Repay no one evil for evil. And there's another one, only repay evil with good, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will keep burning coals on his head. Oh, it's at the end here. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So like, what if we took that mindset into social media?
100. And that we erred on the side of being generous and charitable. And I think so often we react in fear that we are going to lose this person, that this person has stepped a toe outside of having the same beliefs as I do or acting in a way that I expect and that I want. And again, it's like coming to social media with certain expectations, and we come to Christians with certain expectations, or even our friends online, we're like, they shouldn't have done that. That was weird. And we start to put ourselves in the seat of judge and jury and saying, well, I am God. I have decided what is of first importance, second importance, and third. And it's all these extra biblical things that we're imposing on people. So if we can step back and just say, is this really important? And it might have made me sad to see that picture, or it might have disappointed me to see that person comment in that way. And I think that that's okay to feel. Like, I think it comes from a genuine place of us saying, like, I really do believe this, and I really do think that this is true, but have we really ordered our what is important, what is a salvific issue, and even like what our place is to hold that person accountable?
Well, and we can have in-person conversations. I think that's just another aspect to this that we didn't really get into, that if there's something concerning online, for instance, maybe you lead women's ministry at your church, or you lead a Bible study, or you lead a neighborhood book discussion, and you hear moms and women coming to these groups, and they're talking about people they're following online who are sharing false ideas about motherhood, false ideas about what to buy. Like, that is a great, great place to have the conversation about doctrine, about what that person is teaching and whether or not it's biblical, to have that in the context of that relationship. Because my guess is you are going to have an impact on your friend and on what your friend is consuming and believing, because you know her in real life and you're walking through that conversation more so than you're going to have an impact on a stranger with your comment. Now, I don't know. We don't know how God uses all things, but I just want to encourage that action. If you are concerned about the way that an influencer or a big name online is affecting moms in your real life, like, that's a great place to talk about that. And then another thing you said that I liked was just this idea of expectation of, like, are we expecting people to be perfect,
right,
as Christ is perfect? And we may not say that out loud, but it's kind of that old adage of, like, you hold other people, whatever,
it's to,
like,
a different standard than you do.
Yes, yeah, like, you judge them by their action versus their intent, and you judge yourself by your intent instead of your action.
That's a whole other conversation.
That, like, on social media, how often do we judge people, or do we expect them to be perfect? And then as soon as they fall or as soon as they misstep, we're like, oh, I can't believe that. Yeah. It's like, I actually shouldn't be shocked when people are sinners. I shouldn't be shocked if I find out they have a double life. I shouldn't be shocked if they're teaching something not true. Guess what? Like, that is what we learn in scripture, like, sinners this side of heaven do. Instead, I should be, I think, expecting those things, looking for those things, and then not necessarily being rattled as much by them.
Well, and I think that we are not offering them the same grace that we expect for ourselves.
Yeah.
We look at their life, and yeah, because you're an influencer, or because you have this many followers, or even just, like, because you posted it online. You know, because it's there, I don't care how many followers you have, like, you better curate that perfectly, even though there's the whole side conversation of it can't be perfect, can't be too perfect. But just this idea that I think we do not offer grace for the sanctification process. And even in cancel culture, how we're bringing up tweets from 10 years ago and we're bringing up videos and all these things that people said from 10, 12 years ago, we're not offering the same grace that we expect.
Mm-hmm.
And even just taking 10 minutes to put ourselves in those shoes and to say, you know, yeah, I would really want someone to say, I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. How can we honor another human being by saying we're on the same path? You know, we're both growing towards glory. And so with that, to kind of close us up here, I think that though there are times where it is important to have some true accountability. Emily, you mentioned people leading double lives, and, like, there are some really big things that happen online that do deserve, perhaps not from the person per se, but that we need to say, I can't support this person anymore, out of love for other believers and out of love for helping other people get the best of what's out there. Hey, I'm not going to share about their books anymore. Or I'm not going to follow them. I'm not going to retweet their tweets anymore. So I think there are other things that we can do as well that do hold someone accountable, but it's done not in this malicious, vile way of, I'm going to get back at you and I'm going to publicly decry you. And there probably are some good spots for that still. Like, I can think of long form articles that someone might write that are thoughtful, or I can think of some things. But in general, I think that it is okay to say that there are times when someone does deserve big changes in the way that you interact and share their content. And it can still be done from, like, a loving manner and viewpoint. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. So, final word here. Yeah. I think what I hear is saying is, Jesus Christ is the only perfect person who ever lived. And he is a firm foundation. He's never changing. He is never going to, or has, misspoken or done something to hurt us or done something wrong or misrepresented himself or not led us or influenced us in the right direction. Like, Jesus Christ is it. And he should be the biggest one in our lives and in our hearts and the one who we place all of that weight and all that expectation on. And then everybody else is human. And, you know, think accordingly.
That's a great place to end, Emily, is that at the end of the day, we all need to understand what our expectations are for when we interact with social media. And we need to be honest about what our tolerance levels are for other people's opinions or beliefs and lifestyles. And recognize exactly what Emily's saying, that we can only expect Christ to be perfect. And that at the end of the day, all of us, everyone on the internet, we're all accountable to God.
Hi, Hi, my name is Natalie, and I am part of the Risen Motherhood community because Christ and community go hand in hand in making me the mother that I am today. I'm so grateful to the Risen Motherhood community for giving me the genuine hope, grace, and compassion to get through my days as a mom.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.